Charlotte's Web, from page 97 in chapter 13 to page 107, which is in chapter 14. Below the apple orchard, at the end of a path, was the dump where Mr. Zuckerman threw all sorts of trash and stuff that nobody wanted anymore. Here, in a small clearing, hidden by young alders and wild raspberry bushes, was an astonishing pile of old bottles and empty tin cans and dirty rags and bits of metal and broken bottles and broken hinges and broken springs and dead batteries and last month's magazines and old discarded dish mops and tattered overalls and rusty spikes and leaky pails and forgotten stoppers and useless junk of all kinds, including a wrong-size crank for a broken ice cream freezer. Templeton knew the dump and liked it. There were good hiding places there, excellent cover for a rat, and there was usually a tin can with food still clinging to the inside. Templeton was down there now, rummaging around. When he returned to the barn, he carried in his mouth an advertisement he had torn from a crumpled magazine. "How's this?" he asked, showing the ad to Charlotte. "It says, crunchy. Crunchy would be a good word to write in your web." "Just the wrong idea," replied Charlotte. "Couldn't be worse. We don't want Zuckerman to think Wilbur is crunchy. He might start thinking about crisp, crunchy bacon and tasty ham. That would put ideas into his head. We must advertise Wilbur's noble qualities, not his tastiness. Go get another word, please, Templeton." The rat looked disgusted, but he sneaked away to the dump and was back in a while with a strip of cotton cloth. "How's this?" he asked. "It's a label of an old shirt." Charlotte examined the label. It said, "pre-shrunk." "I'm sorry, Templeton," she said, "but pre-shrunk is out of the question. We want Zuckerman to think Wilbur is nicely filled out, not all shrunk up. I'll have to ask you to try again." "What do you think I am, a messenger boy?" grumbled the rat. "I'm not going to spend all my time chasing down to the dump after advertising material."
"Just once more, please," said Charlotte.
"I'll tell you what I'll do," said Templeton. "I know where there's a package of soap flakes in the woodshed. It has writing on it. I'll bring you a piece of the package." He climbed the rope that hung on the wall and disappeared through a hole in the ceiling. When he came back, he had a strip of blue and white cardboard in his teeth. "There," he said triumphantly. "How's that?" Charlotte read the words. "With new radiant action." "What does it mean?" asked Charlotte, who had never used any soap flakes in her life.
"How should I know?" said Templeton. "You asked for words, and I brought them. I suppose the next thing you'll want me to fetch is a dictionary."
Together they studied the soap ad. "With new radiant action," repeated Charlotte slowly.
"Wilbur!" she called.
Wilbur, who was asleep in the straw, jumped up.
"Run around," commanded Charlotte. "I want to see you in action, to see if you are radiant."
Wilbur raced to the end of his yard.
"Now back again, faster," said Charlotte.
Wilbur galloped back. His skin shone. His tail had a fine, tight curl in it.
"Jump into the air," cried Charlotte.
Wilbur jumped as high as he could.
"Keep your knees straight and touch the ground with your ears," called Charlotte.
Wilbur obeyed.
"Do a backflip with a half twist in it," cried Charlotte.
Wilbur went over backwards, writhing and twisting as he went.
"Okay, Wilbur," said Charlotte. "You can go back to sleep."
"Okay, Templeton, the soap ad will do, I guess. I'm not sure Wilbur's action is exactly radiant, but it's interesting."
"Actually," said Wilbur, "I feel radiant."
"Do you?" said Charlotte, looking at him with affection. "Well, you're a good little pig, and radiant you shall be. I'm in this thing pretty deep now. I might as well go the limit." Tired from his romp, Wilbur lay down in the clean straw. He closed his eyes. The straw seemed scratchy, not as comfortable as the cow manure, which was always delightfully soft to lie in. So he pushed the straw to one side and stretched out in the manure. Wilbur sighed. It had been a busy day, his first day of being terrific. Dozens of people had visited his yard during the afternoon, and he had had to stand and pose, looking as terrific as he could. Now he was tired. Fern had arrived and seated herself quietly on her stool in the corner.
Tell me a story, Charlotte, said Wilbur, as he lay waiting for sleep to come. Tell me a story.
So Charlotte, although she too was tired, did what Wilbur wanted. Once upon a time, she began, I had a beautiful cousin who managed to build her web across a small stream. One day, a tiny fish leaped into the air and got tangled in the web. My cousin was very much surprised, of course. The fish was thrashing wildly. My cousin hardly dared tackle it, but she did. She swooped down and threw great masses of wrapping material around the fish and fought bravely to capture it.
Did she succeed? Asked Wilbur.
It was a never-to-be-forgotten battle, said Charlotte. There was the fish, caught only by one fin, and its tail wildly thrashing and shining in the sun. There was the web, sagging dangerously under the weight of the fish.
How much did the fish weigh? Asked Wilbur eagerly.
I don't know, said Charlotte. There was my cousin, slipping in, dodging out, beaten mercilessly over the head by the wildly thrashing fish, dancing in, dancing out, throwing her threads and fighting hard. First she threw a left around the tail. The fish lashed back. Then a left to the tail and a right to the midsection. The fish lashed back. Then she dodged to one side and threw a right, and another right to the fin. Then a hard left to the head, while the web swayed and stretched.
Then what happened? Asked Wilbur.
Nothing, said Charlotte. The fish lost the fight. My cousin wrapped it up so tight it couldn't budge.
Then what happened? Asked Wilbur.
Nothing, said Charlotte. My cousin kept the fish for a while, and then, when she got good and ready, she ate it.
Tell me another story, begged Wilbur.
So Charlotte told him about another cousin of hers who was an aeronaut.
What is an aeronaut? Asked Wilbur.
A balloonist, said Charlotte. My cousin used to stand on her head and let out enough thread to form a balloon. Then she'd let go and be lifted into the air and carried upward on the warm wind.
Is that true? Asked Wilbur. Or are you just making it up?
It's true, replied Charlotte. I have some very remarkable cousins. And now, Wilbur, it's time you went to sleep.
Sing something, begged Wilbur, closing his eyes.
So Charlotte sang a lullaby while crickets chirped in the grass and the barn grew dark. This was the song she sang.
Sleep, sleep, my love, my only, deep, deep in the dung and the dark. Be not afraid and be not lonely. This is the hour when frogs and thrushes praise the world from the woods and the rushes. Rest from care, my one and only, deep in the dung and the dark.
But Wilbur was already asleep. When the song ended, Fern got up and went home. Chapter 14. Dr. Dorian. The next day was Saturday. Fern stood at the kitchen sink drying the breakfast dishes as her mother washed them. Mrs. Arable worked silently. She hoped Fern would go out and play with the other children instead of heading for the Zuckerman's barn to sit and watch animals.
Charlotte is the best storyteller I ever heard, said Fern, poking her dish towel into a cereal bowl.
Fern, said her mother sternly,
you must not invent things. You know spiders don't tell stories. Spiders can't talk.
Charlotte can, replied Fern. She doesn't talk very loud, but she talks.
What kind of story did she tell? Asked Mrs. Arable.
Well, began Fern, she told us about a cousin of hers who caught a fish in her web. Don't you think that's fascinating?
Fern, dear, how would a fish get in a spider's web? Said Mrs. Arable.
You know it couldn't happen. You're making this up.
Oh, it happened all right, replied Fern. Charlotte never fibs. This cousin of hers built a web across a stream. One day she was hanging around on the web and a tiny fish leaped into the air and got tangled in the web. The fish was caught by one fin, Mother. Its tail was wildly thrashing and shining in the sun. Can't you just see the web sagging dangerously under the weight of the fish? Charlotte's cousin kept slipping in, dodging out, and she was beaten mercilessly over the head by the wildly thrashing fish, dancing in, dancing out, throwing fern, snapped her mother. Stop it. Stop inventing these wild tales.
I'm not inventing, said Fern. I'm just telling you the facts.
What finally happened? Asked her mother, whose curiosity began to get the better of her. Charlotte's cousin won. She wrapped the fish up, then she ate him when she got good and ready. Spiders have to eat, the same as the rest of us.
Yes, I suppose they do, said Mrs. Arable vaguely.
Charlotte has another cousin, who is a balloonist. She stands on her head, lets out a lot of line, and is carried aloft on the wind. Mother, wouldn't you simply love to do that?
Yes, I would, come to think of it, replied Mrs. Arable. But Fern, darling, I wish you would play outdoors today instead of going to Uncle Homer's barn. Find some of your playmates and do something nice outdoors. You're spending too much time in that barn. It isn't good for you to be alone so much.
Alone? Said Fern. Alone? My best friends are in the barn cellar. It is a very sociable place. Not at all lonely.
Fern disappeared after a while, walking down the road towards Zuckerman's. Her mother dusted the sitting room. As she worked, she kept thinking about Fern. It didn't seem natural for a little girl to be so interested in animals. Finally, Mrs. Arable made up her mind she would pay a call on old Dr. Dorian and ask his advice. She got in the car and drove to his office in the village. Dr. Dorian had a thick beard. He was glad to see Mrs. Arable and gave her a comfortable chair.
It's about Fern, she explained.